going into that, I liked how you began kind of developing the idea of the priesthood at the time for the Jews, that it had become corrupted, and that St. Luke alludes to that by naming two priests.
Yes.
And it should have been that, and it should have been that there was only one high priest.
Yes.
And then you kind of go into Zechariah handing on his priesthood to John and him as a priest. Maybe talk a little bit about that, because even when I saw, when I got the book in the mail, and it said St. John the Baptist, priest, prophet, and martyr, I had never, like, again, I thought of him as a prophet, as a martyr. I never thought of him as a priest, ever.
Yes.
I don't even think I've ever heard anyone put that in the same sentence. Maybe talk a little bit about that.
Sure, yeah. So the amazing thing is that I think St. Luke is trying to tell us that not only is John a priest, which would have been obvious enough given that he was a son of a priest, and therefore, you know, he had the right for to inherit the Levitical priesthood there, but that he was actually the high priest, the real high priest at the time. That's my contention, and I think Luke is telling us that in the gospel. So you mentioned that Luke names two high priests at the time, John and Jesus are born. And the problem is there that the priesthood, as it was, the high priesthood, as it was originally instituted, was supposed to be one man for life. And then it would just move on to the next successor, you know?
It would have been like the Pope.
It would have been something like the Pope, exactly, right. And so what had happened was that the priesthood had become so corrupt, it had become completely politicized. You had cases of like pagan Gentiles appointing high priests. You know, we find out about that in the Book of Maccabees and so forth. And so you have this situation where the priesthood had become fundamentally a political position about worldly power and nothing of what God intended it to be. So you have this corrupt priesthood, and it's going back and forth every year between like Caiaphas and Annas, his nephew and uncle, and so forth, right? Mm-hmm. And so then the Lord sends St. John. Now, what's remarkable is when you start looking at this passage that goes from the third to the fourth chapter of St. Luke's gospel, what you have is an exact parallel to the Day of Atonement ritual found in Leviticus chapter 16. There, every year on the Day of Atonement, the high priest would come and take a goat, and he would confess the sins of the people upon the goat, placing the sins of the people on the goat, over his head, it said, huh? Mm-hmm. And then a man would lead that goat out east of the camp, and that goat would be for Azazel. Okay, that's what it says in Leviticus. Azazel was one of the demons, huh, who was responsible for the corruption of the world and so forth, huh? Mm-hmm. So he's led out into the desert to the east there, huh? And then at the end of this whole ritual, we find out from other sources, non-scriptural sources nonetheless, but still other sources about exactly how this was practiced. They used to push that goat off of a cliff, because they're afraid that it might wander back and find its way back to the camp. And it was totally unclean because it was made unclean, but it was carrying the sins of the people. And therefore, it was not good for the goat to get back because it represented all the sins of the people. So it needed to die, you see. So now fast forward to St. Luke's gospel. What we have is Jesus comes to the Lord to be Jesus comes to John to be baptized, huh? And John is surprised at first, right? Because this baptism is a baptism of repentance from sin. And of course, Jesus is not a sinner. So John is very confused. He says, but you should be baptizing me. And the Lord says, no, let this be done that all justice may be fulfilled. So John baptizes Jesus, pouring the water over his head. And mystically, what's happening is that Jesus is accepting upon himself the penalty for the sins of mankind right there. He's allowing himself to be reckoned among sinners, counted among sinners, even though he was without sin, just as that goat had no actual sin, but he now carried the sins and the penalty of the sins of the people. Okay. Then what's the next thing that happens? It says the Holy Spirit leads Jesus out into the desert, just like that man led the goat out into the desert. And what desert is it? East of Jerusalem, the east of the camp. And then it says that Jesus was tempted by the devil. So Jesus confronts the devil, Azazel. He confronts the devil there in the wilderness. And then he comes back. And what happens? The people are very upset about him teaching like this. They try to push him off a cliff. And so all the details of the Day of Atonement ritual are all fulfilled in this passage in Luke 3 and 4. And in that passage, it's the high priest who's putting the sins of the people on the goat. And so St. Luke is telling us John is doing the role of the high priest here. He's the real high priest. And St. Ambrose says as much. This is not something I discovered. This is something the fathers of the church. And I think in my book, I quote St. Ambrose as well as a number of others. St. Thomas had the opinion and so forth, that John was actually the real high priest in the eyes of God. And he was exercising his priesthood outside of Jerusalem in the temple.